anything else you need, Judge, or?
I think I'm fine, thank you.
Anybody else can sit here.
Cater to our needs.
Everyone's called chair friend here.
Yeah.
I look at everything.
I'm sorry for Donnie.
Showtime.
One of the most common words in Christianity is being redeemed. Right?
Who?
Redeemed. It also means delivered, Ronnie. Somehow, redeemed and delivered has come to mean something. I don't even know how to explain what it's come to mean. That you were the one they commonly use is that you were a slave in the slave market, and then you're redeemed, and now you're free to be you, or to be. But you can't. You're redeemed because you're purchased. So you. You were all of us were made to contain deity. And we've always contained deity. We've contained, mostly from our entire lives, we've contained the instead of Christ, the Antichrist. And it's the deity that's tried to show itself and judge for itself, good and evil, and it's concerned and hot-wired with its constant and only program, which is self-realization. Becoming something. Getting better. Getting fixed. But then, what is redemption if you're redeemed by Christ? What does that mean? It means now you're still a bond slave, but now you're a bond slave to the true God instead of the stupid God. You were redeemed to be what you were created for. We've always been in the image of God. Doesn't mean we look like Him, it means we were created to contain Him. When we come into true redemption, then we are in the likeness because it's Christ in us. He's the only one that came from eternity. He's the only one that can return to eternity. He is the only one that has immortality. But what happens is that we take the meaning of redemption and we make it an instrument of our own self-realization. So we think it's going to be Jesus and me now, and we're going to do really kick some butt. Or we're really going to do it. We're really going to be successful. That doesn't mean any of that. Redeemed means that you've been purchased from the kingdom of darkness, and you've been bought with a price, and you're now in the kingdom of light. The total expression of the kingdom of darkness is time. It's allowing for time in your deliberations and your plans and your ideas. And so you just, as long as you don't see, then you continue to just, now you're planning and doing and fixing and getting and, but now you're doing it supposedly in the name of Jesus. But you're still in time. And that's why we got these crazy theology and comic book theology about, oh, when I die, am I going to heaven or hell? Well, that has nothing to do with it. If you're not in heaven now, you never will be. And hell is just a dump. So the point of this, it says, redeem the time, for the days are evil. Oh, it's not one day is evil, or a portion of the day is more evil than the next. all days are evil because everything in time is corruption. It corrupts. It changes as time passes. It denigrates. And so you can't have any relationship, any reality, as long as you continue to conduct your life just like you always did. I'll think about this, and now my thoughts. The one that just makes me crazy is that since we have the mind of Christ, there's a scripture that says that, and so now that means that all my thoughts are redeemed. So you can convince yourself that everything that you hear one of your little voices talk to you about is God talking to you. And you can even go on television and say, God told me that if you do this and blah, 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 blah. It is worse than comic book theology because it is such a total lie. They wouldn't know God if God was talking. They don't know the difference between God and Ronnie. If it's God, it has nothing to do with time. It has nothing to do with improving this world. It has nothing to do with ordering you to do this or that. It has to do with the revelation of Jesus Christ. And as I've said so often, you can never, ever, ever ascribe too much anything to Him, and you can never, never ascribe too little to you. And that's the walking on this knife edge of soul and spirit. We had a first fruit meeting last night, and a hot seat broke out. What? It was about this, about redeeming the time. If you allow for time in any of your thought processes, then you have not redeemed the time. What does all that mean? The gift of God is eternal life. It means that there is no time in Him. And if you're going to speak the same thing as He, that's what confess the Lord Jesus means, then you will begin to look at life without regard to time. Now, admittedly, it's totally different. You can't, because everything you do, everything since your beginning of your life, time has always been in the equation. You have thought about something, and this is what I'm going to do this about this, and I'm going to take this and then do that, and this is what I'm going to do then. And so we end up with all of these times. And so the scriptures recognize that, but he says the only set times of God, the only times in time that are set are the feast days. That's what feast means. It means set time. But we all have set times for everything. We work so that we can get to the weekend. We do stuff so we can get a vacation. And it's all part of Babylon. It's just goofy. Eternal life doesn't mean you live a long, long time. Again, more comic books. Eternal life is life without time now. And so any time that you allow for process, allow for, then you can never repent. Does anybody understand me? Does anybody not understand me?
Part of the point there is if you're allowing for a process of time, it's something that you're doing. You co-opted God into your own formulaic calculations. Got His name on it. You're doing it.
The bottom line, what?
I was just going to say this, the definition of giving place to the devil. That's the place where the devil exists.
And that's neat.
That's why truth is so important. Everybody, oh, I'm a truth seeker and I'm sincere. If you have any integrity, truth has to be that which doesn't change with time. I mean, that's, you have to get, we've talked about this a lot over the past few months, but you have to get to the point where nothing can be divisible, nothing can be divided. And so if you allow your mind to play all these little games, like you in essence are creating a new reality. And then you pray about it, and what you're doing is you're asking God to go where he isn't. Because he's not in your imagination. He's not in this new reality you've created by thinking up some crap. And he's not in the back here in all of these things that you wished you would have done and didn't do right. And he is always now. And the now is so narrow, there's no possibility of being able to measure it. This is why your only job is to be. You never try to be. You never think about being. You never be concerned with how you're going to approach somebody. You just be. This is what, because everything else is idolatry. Because you've created an idea of how you want something to be, and then you try to cause that to happen. And so that idolatry has come between you and the Father. And he's, first of all, when you do that, you're taking the name of the Lord in vain, because you're putting the name of God in that which denigrates with time or is corruption. And secondly, you have another God before him. So you're not seeking first the kingdom of God. You're not seeking only the kingdom of God. You're seeking some little dealy for you. And some little lie has caused you to believe that if you give breath to that, if you pump energy into that, then it'll happen. If you can conceive it, you can achieve it. And any other real estate seminar horseshit.
That's an agenda.
Any agenda. That's why we as believers take no thought for our life. We take no thought for tomorrow. We abandon ourselves. We leave ourselves behind. But some of you are carrying 5 million tons of weight on you from every little slight and every little instant that happened in your past. And oh, then something, and you're so weary. Because you've been dragging with a rope, a cart rope, all of that baggage from the world. You sin, as it were, with a cart rope, is what Isaiah says. What? You're doing it again.
I'm not doing it.
It's
just an old look.
Gary? You left the moment. What were you thinking about? This is either true or it's so crazy you can't even conceive of it. This is nothing. Nobody would make up this.
This is the perfect conundrum, because in what you're saying, when you abandon, and this is what I saw last night, when you abandon, it's not like now you've got a new program, you've abandoned so much, and now you've got some new stuff to work with. It's abandonment is so total. And now you got nothing.
Except the source of all things.
Right. Of which you can't do anything with, because the minute you get your hands in on it.
That's the whole point of it. You no longer want to do anything with it.
Yeah.
You just be.
And so you stop meddling with eternity, and it's a whole other kingdom.
And then you can consider the birds of the air, and you consider the lilies of the field, and you consider life, and you consider the vine and the branch analogy, and pretty soon you see, my God, all I have to do, I just have to leave me behind. It's not that difficult. What's so hard about that? It's only hard if you think you've got there's something valuable.
It's like that thing where it says to labor into the enter into the rest, which is a weird thing to say. It's like you see eternity as you're walking through time. You don't see the time. You see eternity at every point. Like look at the birds in the air and you see eternity happening.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10.
There's a sort of frightening aspect of talking about time this way because you start realizing how pervasive it is and it's dark and it's very dark. It's just very, very dark. Everything's dark.
Right. That's why it says if your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is double, then even the light that is in you is darkness, and how great is that darkness? What? Chapter 10, verse 3. Correct me if I don't say it right, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Right? Is that what it says? Casting down imaginations in every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ and having in a readiness to revenge all your disobedience once your obedience has been fulfilled. Is that essentially what it says?
Let's see.
What do you think that means? Casting down imaginations and every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God? The knowledge of God is it's finished. I have been perfected by one offering. I need nothing. Anytime I attempt to please man, I'm an abomination unto God. And anything that anybody out there wants is an abomination unto God. You don't want what they want. You don't see what they see. Casting down imaginations, thoughts. How do you do that? Because I've challenged you. I've asked you to do this forever. Find me one thought that you can have, that you can use this thing for, that can stand against it is finished. I promise you, it's impossible. Find me one thought that stands against that you have already been perfected. Find me one thought that can stand against that you own all things. In terms of, I need something. It can't be. That's why he said, I go to the Father and I send you the Holy Spirit. When he has come, he will convict the world, but primarily you. He'll convict the world of sin, of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because all those stupid things I do? No, that's gone. Of sin because you believe not on me. You 100% rely not on me. Of righteousness because I've gone to the Father and that can be your only rightness. If you ever worry about being right again, you're a blithering idiot. Because the only righteousness is what he defined by going to the Father. And of judgment, because the prince of this world has already been judged. So there's nothing. You can't. What are you going to judge? But you, on the other hand, have set yourself up in this. You're the temple of the living God. That's the scriptures say it over and over. But you have set yourself up in the temple of the living God, showing yourself that you are God. And how do you do that? Well, you don't sit around and say, oh, I'm God. Most of the time you sit around, oh, poor me. But you show yourself that you're God, because the only definition of showing yourself that you're God is judging for yourself good and evil, instead of living in that moment of childlike dependence. And so you're bound by all of the baggage from your entire life, and you've got 1,000 excuses for it. Oh, and then you're, plus you must know by now your mind lies to you constantly. It tells you things that aren't there. I mean, you're still back, I'm afraid there's a boogeyman under the bed. What?
Absolutely true.
That one turned out to be
every word.
Absolutely true. Why do you do it then?
I can't answer that question. I'm not doing it now, is all I can tell you. But I will tell you this. The thing you talk about, the analogy of climbing a mountain, the higher you go, the thinner the atmosphere, and that is my experience.
I'm glad you verified the scriptures.
You really are a prick sometimes.
I know.
No, if I'm in my right mind, absolutely. If I step over the line, it is much worse than it's ever been. It's crazier, it's meaner, it's more hateful, it's more despondency, it's more just kill myself. Much, much worse.
Did we tell you about us losing the contract to man the suicide prevention phones?
Only 1,000
times.
Huh? Only 1,000.
Enough to make you want to commit suicide.
I mean, why would you neglect so great a salvation? Oh, I can't help it. It just comes on me. Then you leave yourself behind. That's why it came on you. Yeah, you love the darkness more than the light, because the darkness has a certain familiarity. You love twilight instead of the brightness of his coming, of his presence. Love the fantasy world and the sweet thoughts. I could have done that if it wouldn't have been for that.
Like even hearing preaching, you know, if I hear you, but I'm responding without, you know, silently, what I'm doing is making more baggage,
sure.
More rules.
Sure. You're putting yourself in debt, in debt, in debt, in debt.
Yeah, like, Holy's right, I'm going to start that tomorrow. I'm going to start that living in the now tomorrow.
Make a note.
I'll start one. When I finish this one project.
We were talking last week about a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And the way I hear that is, suddenly there's somebody else here. I'm aware of me, as opposed to being free.
Mr. Bojo?
Yes.
Any response?
I hear you clearly.
Ronnie? Sandra?
I have too many thoughts to come out at once, so I'm just going to let it calm down. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's undelicate.
I would...
I do want to say something. I can't understand... I understand everything except you're sick, if you have an illness and your body isn't well. So you want to try to improve that. Is that idolatry?
It's common. I finally had to get to the point. And it took me long time, of 25 years of being in pain, where I had to repent of wanting to be out of pain.
So taking care of yourself is idolatry. Is that also trying to?
Well, I mean, it's just meaning, just abandon yourself, just live, just love God and have fun. The idea of you, every 5 minutes, there'll be a new little deal that happens. And then you... No, I'm not telling anybody not to take any medicine. I don't care what you do. I'm talking about what goes on inside you.
What you get life from.
Doesn't matter. All that is meaningless. It's not this. I'm never telling you what to do. I'm trying to get you to find out this, where life is what goes on in your head. Not doing stuff. Doesn't matter what you mean. You're free to be you. Just be it without any apology, without any regret, without anything.
And take your lumps.
And then what happens, happens. It's not our business. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price.
The presence of God is not, the evidence of the presence of God is not that you won't be sick.
Of course not.
Or in pain.
So, but your mind takes us. I mean, my God, look at, I mean, your mind takes this stuff and tries to arrange it so that it can work for you in some way, or so you'll know what to do next. But I do what I've asked you to do. Test every thought against it is finished. Either you believe it's finished or it's not. If you don't believe it's finished, then you got more work to do than you ever imagined. But if you believe it's finished, then go to war with the beast. And instead of trying to figure out, oh, what do I do about this, and how do I fit this into that, and how does this fit over here in this jigsaw puzzle and this infinite number of, and I can do this, and no, I can't do that, and blah, 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 blah. I promise you, you will have silence in the temple. If you cast down every thought that has as its predicate, it isn't finished, or it isn't, I haven't been perfected, I need to change, I need to do something about me, I need to gad about to change myself some more. That's all you've been doing your whole life. Again, we've talked about why do two books sell so well? Because none of them work. How to is the religion of Babylon.
If one of them worked, then they wouldn't need any more how to books, because that one would have worked.
I saw one that said it's the last one you'll ever need.
The last one. I think that's been on the bottom line of about 5,000 of them in my lifetime. How to raise kids. How to have a healthy body, how to lose weight, how to not lose weight, how to gain weight, how to get rid of allergies, how to be happy. I mean, it's nauseous.
How to be miserable.
You don't see that one.
You don't see that one too.
How to blame everybody for everything.
Well, that one is written all over the place. That's in every piece of literature that's ever been written. Oh, I'm just a victim of the universe.
I have no problem. Whether you know it or not, the universe is laughing behind your back.
I understand what Sandra's saying, though, that it's taken to an extreme. It's like, if I'm hot, if I change the thermostat, is that idolatry? Because I want things to be different. I want it to be cooler in here.
I stink, should I take a bath? Who's asking that question?
Yes.
No, think about it. Who's asking that question? Who's having the dialogue?
Yeah,
that's the double-minded.
That's
man.
The trick. Yeah, it's the talking to yourself that is.
Did
the
he really thing. Say you can't eat it?
Remember when Doug came? For those of you who have been here a very long time, Doug came and he had a whole list or couple pages of questions that he was going to prove that he asked one question and he tore the list up. And 25 years later, he hit the road.
He hit the road.
He should have gone through all the
should have gone through his list.
What we know now, though, and didn't know then, was the gospel of break-even.
The gospel of break-even is the new... There's not the prosperity gospel. At Trinity, where it's the gospel of break-even.
And the radius of effectiveness.
No, I mean, Skippy is on the job. We are going... He's creating the gospel of break-even.
The break-even gospel.
Yeah. It's the new... It will
God
be
the, wants you to know
this. You should break even. It'll be the hottest seller...
How to break even?
The last break even.
How to bring forth wind, as it were.
I've taken a lie down.
With that last
take it, big guy.
Lie down.
Yeah. I wall up my backpack. I usually lie down. I need to.
You don't have to go to work.
No, I have to lie down just briefly.